Do you love to travel and save money? Or do you wish you could travel but money is holding you back? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Families Fly Free podcast, where I show you how to fly your family free forever using my simple fly free formula. I'm your host, Lynn Mettler. My family of four has mastered the art of flying free as simply as possible since 2015, and I want to show your family how to do it too. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Families Fly Free podcast. I'm Lynn Mettler, your host and the creator of Families Fly Free. And this week, we're going to talk about a topic that I know many of you guys are interested in, which is Hawaii. I know so many of you come to me, and that is your bucket list trip that you 100% want to do once you learn how to use travel rewards to fly for free. So we love talking about all different aspects of Hawaii. So this week, I have with me Marcy Chung, and she runs the website Hawaii Travel with Kids and has lots of great travel guides about Hawaii. So I thought we'd dive into the topic of traveling with young kids to Hawaii, which I'm sure many of you are in that boat since we're Families Fly Free. She has a lot of experience doing that. So Marcy, I'll let you go ahead and just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I'm Marcy Chung. I run Hawaii Travel with Kids, and I have visited Hawaii more than 40 times in my life. I started off when I was 10 years old because my grandma lived there part-time. And so we would go and visit her. And now my own mom lives on Kauai. And so we go visit her a lot. I also have lots of connections to Hawaii. I was a professional hula dancer for more than 20 years. I ran a baby wearing hula business for a while in the Seattle area. I've just been very connected to the community, very plugged in, and I love everything about Hawaii.
So tell us about your experience, you know, going and visiting Hawaii with when you had young kids.
You bet. I took my oldest son when he was 9 months old, solo by myself. I figured that we would go to Maui. Just the two of us for a while. And then my mom flew over, you know, to hang out with us. And it was an adventure. He was a lap baby, and it was my first time having him as a lap baby. And it's about a 6-hour flight from Seattle to Maui. And it was a lot. And so I learned a lot on that trip. And also, how to navigate nap times and bedtimes and things like that while traveling solo. It's definitely easier when you have a partner or another adult that's there who can help you with that. But now my kids are 7 years old and 10 years old, and they've probably been to Hawaii at least 10 times right now. And that's a lot when they were babies and toddlers and preschoolers. And each trip is just, it's a new adventure. And it's been easier and easier the older they get, I'm finding.
Well, we should have interviewed them since they've been
yeah.
10 times. Well, and I think, you know, when you have kids that age, that is a good point of like each time they're just at a different stage of development. So it probably is a different experience in terms of what they're interested in and what they're able to do. And so, yeah, it's like going to Disney or whatever. You just can have a totally different experience with teens, with school age kids, with toddlers, and, you know, with babies. So, do you feel like Hawaii is a family friendly destination? Do they mind little kids over there?
Hawaii is super family friendly. I think a lot of people think about Hawaii as like a honeymoon destination or like a kid free romantic getaway, but, it is full of kids. Like, not only is it just in the culture, it's so family oriented. But now I think lots of people who maybe got married in Hawaii, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they've been bringing their kids. And now like there's another generation coming. And so it's just one of those places that's, it's perfect for young families. It's perfect for multi-generational travel. It's fantastic. Like there's so much to do. I'm thinking just, you know, easy things like there's the beach and there's, you know, pool time and all kinds of just, you know, there's kid menus at like every restaurant. Like it's just really super kid friendly.
What's the kid menu called? I forgot.
It's called the keiki menu.
Yeah, yeah.
Keiki means, child in Hawaiian. And so, you'll want the keiki menu anywhere you go.
Yeah. And just the fact that they have a name for it tells you that it's, you know, family friendly, I think. But we always found, we've just been twice in recent years, I guess, to Maui and Kauai. But, you know, it's such a laid back attitude there that it seems to me, yeah, like kids would be no problem. Nobody would be aggravated or, you know, we just love the Hawaiian people. It's just a different feel when you're there. Yes. It's very relaxed, I guess.
The aloha spirit. It's just,
you know. The aloha spirit. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. All right. So talking about, you know, it is a five, six hour flight over there. And we're always teaching people, you know, since Southwest has started flying to Hawaii, that's been great. That's opened it up to a lot of people. And that's why we finally went, was once Southwest started flying there. But so we're always teaching people usually to get to California or one of the places where Southwest flies nonstop to one of the islands and then hop over so that you don't have, you know, you still have that 5 or 6 hour flight, but maybe you break it up into two. Or when we've done it, we will stay in California a night going and coming to just break it up. And we love San Diego and other California destinations, so it's fun for us to just hang out for a night or whatever. But so what are some of your tips on navigating the flights with little kids?
Yeah, you bet. I'm very pro screen. I know that is sometimes a controversial opinion. But I'm a big fan of having iPads or Kindles or Switches or whatever device that your child might need, because it is a long stretch, and it's great if they can sit and watch a movie for a little bit, or there's all kinds of educational apps that you can do, or even just like drawing, or, you know, there's so many other things you can do with it. It doesn't have to be just, you know, consuming videos, but that's a big thing that we do. But if you don't want to do that, or you want things in addition, we really like those Water Wow coloring books that you can just fill up the little wand with a little bit of water. And then, you know, you can paint on the coloring books, and then it dries, and then you can just do it all over again. So my kids will sometimes do it multiple times on a flight, quick to dry. There's also those Wiki sticks, which are like those little wax sticks that they can make into different shapes. And it's kind of like clay, but not, and it's really fun. My kids really love those. And then also just like regular coloring books. But if you can get the triangle crayons, then those are really nice, so they don't roll off of the trays.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because, you know, or else you're going to be spending all your time, you know, awkwardly reaching down in between the seats trying to get those crayons. Mm-hmm. And then there was a toy called a mini spinny. And it's, I'm trying to remember, I can't remember what brand it is, but it's kind of like a little, it's like a gear, and it spins down on a little, kind of like a corkscrew thing. But that used to keep my kids really occupied. I was surprised how long it would. So those ones are super good. Just bring all the snacks. It's amazing how like kids can stay occupied if they're just eating something. And so right now I know those snackle boxes are really trendy, where it's kind of like a little caboodle kit thingy that you can put all kinds of different snacks in the little compartments and stuff, and they can open them up and they can have their little snacks. And you can even, you know, if your kids are a little bit older, you can get those like training chopsticks, and they can use the chopsticks to try to get like their goldfish or whatever. Like you can make it challenging. You can really like, you know, make it last a long time. But it's, you'll just be surprised how that will occupy your kid for some of these longer flights.
And you have a coloring book, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So, well, you can check out her site for her coloring book. But yeah, I just was talking with someone about, I'm clueless now because my kids are older, so of these things of how you keep kids entertained. But, you know, I was talking with someone who was going on a car trip, and they were saying how their car now had like the consoles for the video games, and you could charge those. Yes. I was like, what? Like my kids would have been, I would have never heard a peep out of them on any car trip ever if that had existed. You know, we were stuck with having to pull the movie thing.
Oh my gosh.
Watch a movie or whatever in the car. So yeah, like that would be amazing to have those things. And another one I've heard like some moms doing is like going to the dollar store or something and just getting a bunch of cheap toys and putting them in like a grab bag, and they get to pick one out for a little bit. And then like you're saying, to kind of stretch it out over time.
Absolutely. When you can even wrap each of those, so then it takes a little bit more time for them to like unwrap something. Like, I mean, you can go as crazy as you want, But like, the, you know, there's so many options. And Target, they have that dollar spot section and that has a lot of fun stuff. And like Daiso, like the Asian stores, sometimes they have some really interesting things, or like different snacks that maybe your kids aren't used to. Sometimes that's fun, just to kind of, you know, make the flight itself part of the vacation.
Right. And do you have any tips on like napping or sleeping or anything like that on planes?
I mean, we're very pro sleeping on planes whenever possible.
I'm sure everyone is.
Right. I found that my kids tend to, we kind of would wear them out at the airport. And then by the time they get on the flight, they're still kind of like, you know, there's a lot going on. They're kind of, you know, still buzzing. But then as soon as the plane takes off, there's something with the difference of air pressure and stuff that they would usually just conk right out for like at least that first little stretch of the flight. And then they would wake back up again. And then, you know, they do their thing, but we would get kind of like a little mini power nap. And then sometimes before we landed, there would be another nap involved, which is kind of nice because then they aren't as cranky when you're going through to get your car rental and going through the airport and getting your luggage and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, with the time change and everything, like it can be a lot for kids. So it's nice if they can get some of those little power naps in just to kind of stretch it out a little bit.
And it is nice that these days, it seems like most airports have play areas of some sort for yes. kids. So yeah, you try to wear them out there a little bit and make that an adventure in itself too, I'm sure, right? Like, oh, we're going to, yeah. this is a new one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Before we get on the plane. Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned the time change. And so to my brain, that would be one of the hardest things I would think to navigate with young kids. It's hard for me as an adult sometimes to make that switch. So, but there's, now I'm forgetting. So you go behind, but it's something like they can either stay up later or they're up early in the morning. It's, you can be up early in the morning. That's the deal. Cause you can see the sunrise and everything yes. with that. Yeah. Okay. So how does this all work with little kids?
You bet. Well, you'll be shocked that your kids will probably deal with it way better than you will.
Okay.
I don't know. It's something magical. Like even when we take our kids to Europe, they seem to get on the time almost instantly, where it takes me several days and melatonin and all of the tricks I try to use. So like depending on your itinerary for Hawaii, it can actually work in your favor to just stay on your like home time, because you can get that early start. And so if you, you know, if your kids are already going to be up super early at, you know, 5 a.m, 6 a.m, you know, it's a great time to have an early breakfast, head to a beach before it gets crowded, before other people are there. You know, you can go for a hike. You can do kind of like all the natural things, you know, before places are open and before a lot of the other tourists, maybe later in their trip, who are sleeping in and taking their time. And also you can, kind of offset your eating hours a little bit. So if you're having breakfast, you know, at a restaurant at 7 a.m, it's not going to usually be as crowded as if you were to go at 9:00. And same thing with lunches, like you could have lunch at 11 or dinner at, you know, 4:30 and take advantage of happy hour time and things like that. So there are some things to consider, you know, unless you have evening activities that you have booked, you know, a boat trip or a luau or something where you kind of need to stay up later, then scrap that and you're going to want to get on Hawaii time because you don't want anybody to be cranky Ooh. At nighttime. Yeah. And I would recommend if you're going to book things like that to do that later in your trip where your body has some time to get used to it. Like don't book a luau for your first night because you will be crying. Like your kids will be crying. You will be crying. You'll be so tired by the time they serve dinner. So it's not worth it. Wait until later in your trip. And if you are planning on getting on Hawaii time, a lot of people do it where like, you know, a week or two before they start letting their kids stay up like 15 minutes later each night and kind of slowly, like gradually getting them onto Hawaii time. And Hawaii is usually 2 to 3 hours behind West Coast time, depending on daylight savings. They don't do daylight savings. So you kind of have to know where you're at, depending.
On Eastern time, we're like 5-6 hours off.
That's exactly. Exactly. So that's the one where like, if you need to get on Hawaii time or get close to it, like I would start that 15 minute increment, you know, depending on your schedules. I know it's hard if kids are, you know, in daycare or have things that they have to do early in the morning. I know that that's tricky. And so if you can kind of shift it where it makes sense for your family. But I think the hardest part of the whole time change is that first day when you land, because a lot of times you're landing in the afternoon in Hawaii, but it's usually like dinner time or bedtime for a lot of families. And so that's the trickiest part. So if you can get your kids to nap a little bit on the plane, that kind of buys you a little bit extra time. And then once you land and once you get to your hotel or your condo or wherever you're staying, it's great if you can like hit the pool or go for a walk or do something physical just to kind of like keep everybody awake a little bit. And you can go to bed early that first night, but like if you can do a little something just to kind of stretch it out so you aren't going to bed at like 4 in the afternoon, you know, you can just try to make it like try to have an early dinner and make it a little bit longer. That'll help you.
Yeah, those are good tips. I laugh at I think it's an Airbnb commercial about like when you stay in a hotel, your bedtime is your kid's bedtime, which is yes. So true, right? And if that was 4 in the afternoon, that would be miserable.
Yes.
But that seems the trick to me, at least as an adult, is to try to stay up as long as you can that first day. And then that helps your body get a little
absolutely
bit on the, and I think too that you don't underestimate the role of light. I mean, we are designed to function by the light. So that I think that helps me too, is even at home, as soon as it's dark, I'm tired, you know, but if it's still light out, I'm more likely to keep going. Like you said, if you move, just got to keep
moving. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Don't sit down. Exactly.
Okay. So you talked about luau's and you were a hula dancer, right? So now as teens, that's when we took our boys. The one we went to, they were just bored to tears. I was like, oh my gosh, like they, you know, were like, when is this over? But so just wonder what you think about luau's for kids and if you have any recommendations.
Absolutely. My kids love luau's and I don't know if it's me like being so excited to go to luau's all the time because of my hula background. But they're always really into them. It really helps if you can do it later in your trip because, you know, people are tired those first couple of days. So that can be a strike against you. And also just read a lot of reviews. I know on my website, I try to review every single luau that we go to and think about kids of all ages. You know, like I would say, you know, if I had brought a baby or toddler, preschooler, what they thought about it. I always ask my kids if they think other kids would like this luau, and they're really discerning. They know which luau they would recommend.
I'm sure, right?
They've been to yeah, an embarrassing amount probably, but like it's on our trips we usually do 2, 3, sometimes 4 luau's because of the blog. I'm trying to get content. We're not normal Hawaii vacationers. We are trying to get content while we're there. And so I like to do them back to back so that I can compare them. And I know which one I would recommend, which one I would think maybe would suit older people without kids or teens or ones with younger kids. There's a lot of hands-on activities. So if you can find the ones where there are lots of hands-on activities, like my kids love it when they can, you know, make a lei and they can get tattoos and they can do Hawaiian, you know, lawn games, and they can learn how to like, you know, peel sweet potatoes or pound poi or like do some of those activities. And when they do those, then they're more engaged in the show because they have personally met some of the performers. They've like had, you know, conversations with them or made memories. And so they're really excited to see them on stage. So there's all these things that kind of factor in. And then there's different types of luau's. Like some of them are more, you know, traditional where it's like ancient style hula dancing. There's some like Disney Aulani does a really great job where it's like a storytelling luau. So you learn a little bit more about the area and it's more of a show versus like hula performances or historical kinds of things. And so there's so many there. It's not like there's not one luau. So I think sometimes people go to one luau and it's maybe 600 people and it feels like a mass production and it's not a special experience, but like, I like the ones that are like 50 people or 60 people. And you have lots of opportunities to learn about the culture and have hands-on, you know, activities. And you feel like you're somewhere special. I like those ones.
Well, yeah, I think that's great. So it's basically, there's not a one size fits all luau. And so do your research and your website would be a great place where you've reviewed lots of different luau's and HawaiiTravelWithKids.com. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So that's great. People can go and, because I know that's always the big thing is everyone wants to go to a luau, but which one do you go to? And is it going to be, because they're expensive too. So you want to make sure you're going to a good one.
Well, and they're definitely more expensive now than they used to be. So you have to kind of throw away all those pre-pandemic prices in your head because things in Hawaii and things generally are just, they're more expensive. So it's the new normal and it doesn't help you to think about what things used to cost. Just think about what they cost now and whether or not it's worth it for your vacation budget.
Yeah. And just make sure you're getting one that you think will provide that the best value for what you're spending. So what are some other good activities for kids in Hawaii?
You bet. Well, don't underestimate a good pool. That is something they really do. Like I always recommend that people, as they're booking their accommodations, check to see what the pool situation is. And that has definitely, we've definitely booked some places specifically for their pool. And specifically if it seems like it's a kid friendly sort of pool, there's lots of options out there. I think it's easy to assume that you'll go to the beach a lot, but I found out when my kids hated the feel of sand, that was not going to be an option.
I'm with them on that.
Right. Well,
I don't love it either.
and it varies too. Like I would bring my kids, you know, one season and they would be all about playing in the beach and it'd be fun. And I would bring them back, you know, 6 months later. And all of a sudden they were terrified of the ocean water because they couldn't see all the way through it, or they didn't like the sand on them and they would want to go home after 5 minutes. And so I would never assume that you're going to the beach all the time. So it's really nice if you're staying somewhere that has a good pool that you can always have that as a backup. Or like if you go out adventuring all day, sometimes you're tired, you want to go back to your hotel and chill out for a little bit. And it's nice that you can just walk down and do the pool for a little bit. It doesn't have to be a whole ordeal. So that's like a big one. But also Hawaii is known for having lots of really cool farms. And sometimes they have opportunities where kids can like, you know, pick their own pineapples or cut down a banana tree or like do all these like really fun things. And a lot of them have animals. So you can meet farm animals, which is always fun. And then a lot of the islands have kind of like special opportunities. So like Kauai has this really cute train ride that you can do around their plantation and you can feed animals partway through it. But my kids like loved being on this little train. They're big into vehicles. Oahu they have the Dole Plantation that also has a little train ride that you can do. And they have places where you can swim with dolphins. And that's even like toddlers, preschoolers. There's places where you're not necessarily, I guess, swimming with them, but you're interacting with them in the water, which is kind of cool. Maui has the Maui Tropical Plantation. They have a little tram ride that goes around and they have some petting zoos there. And the Big Island, they have a children's museum that is super cool in Kona. That is just kind of like any indoor play area, but it has, it teaches a lot about Hawaiian nature and culture. And that one's one of my favorite ones. And they also have a really cool zoo that is free in Hilo. So that's pretty awesome. And there's also like on all of the islands, there are free hula shows. And those are always a great option if you are on the fence about a luau. You can always kind of check it out with a free hula show. And those are usually like at malls or shopping centers. And it's usually in an area where you can grab snacks or something for your kids. And they can probably kind of run around a little bit. A lot of times there's like a little grassy area where you're sitting and there's a stage. But they usually have like audience participation. So kids especially are usually invited to either come up on stage or stand up where they are. And they can learn some hula moves. And it's just kind of a fun way to kind of get them involved in Hawaiian culture without it being like a super big deal. And then like, you know, there's always shave ice, you know, I feel like don't underestimate that
shave
either.
Shave ice in Hawaii.
Right. Exactly.
And so Dole like, Whip. Dole Whip.
And Dole Whip is amazing. My kids are big fans of both. And so when in doubt, get a nice icy treat, you know?
Yeah. And I would say not to underestimate the importance of animals too. Like my kids are always like animals involved anywhere they're in. And, I've shared this before, but in Kauai, we just like ended up eating at a Mexican restaurant one night, like next to a goat farm. And again, I had like older teens and they were just thrilled the whole time with looking at the baby goats and the whatever the goats were climbing up something or whatever. And, you know, it just was super fun. It entertained us during dinner.
Well, it's something you probably don't experience at home, right?
We don't have any goat farms near us. No.
Exactly. And that's part of like the thrill of travel is these experiences that you just don't get at home. And, you know, you don't even have to do a lot to get these experiences. You know, you were just eating your food and they're like, whoa, there's goats right there.
And again, like that's a memory. I'm big on memories with travel, you know,
yeah.
That we're going to be telling forever. And it was just a happenstance thing, right? Nothing we planned. And those are just some of the best memories that happen when traveling. Just, it could be even an annoying thing, but later on it's going to be funny and you're going to tell the story many times, right?
Yes.
Okay. In terms of islands, is there an island you'd recommend more than another for you're going with young kids?
So all of them, really all the main four islands, so Maui, Oahu, the Big Island, and Kauai, are all really great for babies, toddlers, preschoolers. I've taken my kids to all of them, and there's something really fun to do on all of them. Like you won't run out of activities. But when people are kind of planning a first trip or their first trip with a kid, and maybe they like to do a lot of things, I usually recommend doing Oahu or Maui because they have so many like tourist attractions and activities for kids of all ages, that those are the ones I kind of focus on if you like to do a lot of things. If you are looking for laid back, you just want to maybe sit by a pool or the beach, get some food, kind of like maybe do a couple of things during your trip. Big Island and Kauai are perfect for that. But if you want to be doing a lot of things, Oahu or Maui is usually your best bet.
Okay. Anything that families might not think about that they should prepare or realize before coming to Hawaii?
Yeah. I think, like, I'm in a lot of Facebook groups about Hawaii, so I'm always kind of seeing what people are thinking about. And people are constantly asking about all-inclusive resorts in Hawaii. And it's just not a thing. It's, yeah, you know,
not any, right?
No, there's none. And yeah. Anybody who tells you that there is mistaken, because there aren't any. You kind of have to go to, like, you know, Mexico or the Caribbean or somewhere like that for those. It's not a Hawaii thing. You will not find an all-inclusive. And so that's something that I think surprises people, and they aren't prepared for that. So when you see resort prices, it's just for where you're staying.
You know, that's the whole thing, is they see the price and.
There's a lot of assumptions. And when you get the price of your hotel, your resort, there's also going to be a resort fee. So keep that in mind. And if you're renting a car, there's going to be a parking fee. So the price that you see instantly isn't necessarily going to be your final price. And so I think it's just really important to do a little bit of research, find out what those fees are, just so that you have like a realistic idea of how much things are going to cost before you start booking things.
And that's where we can help to help you work down that cost with book your hotel and travel rewards, book your flight and travel rewards, but you are going to still pay that resort fee that you're talking about. So you want to be aware, does it have a resort fee, and what is that? Because that's going to be a surprise when you get there, and parking fee also. So it can be an expensive trip, right? But you can work it down somewhat with, if you can learn how to use travel rewards. Do kids get a lot of free? Is there free things? Like, do they eat free? I don't know.
There's definitely some free admissions. You're going to want to look for those cakey prices. And so you'll see on a lot of activities and attractions, kids are usually a lot cheaper. For luau's, a lot of times the kids who are under four are free. And so that's always something to keep in mind when you're looking at some of these costs, is that check to see what those prices are. But yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of free rides, even for kids in Hawaii.
You could stop by San Diego on the way. In October, it's kids get everything free month.
Yeah, exactly. That's always our favorite time to go to San Diego. We always hit up Legoland.
It's a great deal.
It is a great deal.
Yeah. That's where we like to stop over on our, if we're going to Hawaii, is San Diego. That's one of our favorites. But all right, last question. What if mom and dad want to have a romantic evening out? Are there options for sitters or anything like that?
You bet. There are definitely some like vacation nanny services on all the islands. And I have links to all those on my website. You just kind of want to make sure that they're vetted. You know, I know that there's lots of people who posted their babysitters, you know, online somewhere, but you just kind of want to make sure people are vetted. And those, like, if you are able to get a sitter and it's a good deal for you, or maybe you're traveling with extended family who are offering a date night, and they'll watch your kid for you, which is always awesome. You can, there's tons and tons and tons of romantic restaurants anywhere in Hawaii. There's also kind of like upscale luau options where they have like private tables and plated dinners, and you get the show, and it kind of feels a little bit nicer than some of the more family luau's. There's also like live music at most of the restaurants. So you can go and enjoy some live Hawaiian music while you're eating your food, which is nice. Or even just like sunset or moonlit walks on the beach without your kids. It's fantastic. But if you don't,
an easy free one.
Yeah. Super easy and free. And you can, you know, even hit up like a cocktail bar before you go. Like there's lots of options, or get dessert and then, you know, walk. But like, if you can't get a sitter, I always recommend that people look at a resort or hotel that has like a really nice lanai, like their deck out there, because you can always put the kids to bed and then hop out and you can do cocktails or dessert or do something out there where you maybe can see the ocean, or at least hear the ocean or the breeze, or, you know, enjoy the tropical atmosphere without being inside your hotel room. That's always an option. Or if you have like a ground floor room where maybe you can kind of take turns going to the pool area, if something that's like nearby. There's a lot of options that you can do even if you don't have a sitter.
Yeah, those are great ideas. I love that. Yeah, you can sort of feel like you've gotten away a little bit if you can, and likely they'll be going to bed earlier, right?
Yeah, in theory.
Right, in theory. Okay. Is there anything else that you think we should share about bringing little ones to Hawaii?
Yeah, you bet. If you are staying in Waikiki, there's a good chance you don't need to rent a car for your entire trip. Maybe you just rent it for a couple of days that you're going to go exploring, or you can even get away with not having a car rental. There is the Waikiki trolley that is super fun for kids. Mm-hmm. It's in like an open air trolley and it's pretty cheap, and it will take you kind of all around the Waikiki area. And it'll even go to like Sea Life Park, which is super fun for little kids. It'll go a couple of different places, which is nice. Or you can book tours and activities that have transportation. There's usually Waikiki Pickup is one of them. And that's a way to not only save on the car rental, but then the parking fees at your resort. So if you go to any other island or you're staying outside of Waikiki, except for Aulani, I would highly recommend renting a car, because it's really the best way of getting around and exploring and maximizing your vacation. But if you are in Waikiki, I would take a serious look at your itinerary and see if you could get away with just a few days of car rentals, because it will save you a ton of money.
I know we had a member who did that in Waikiki, and she got a Turo, and it was just for one day, like you said, when they were going to go out and do their exploring, and the guy brought it to them, or whoever it was, and then they, you know, dropped it back off and they were done. Yeah. That was a tremendous savings. So
yes, that's a tip. Totally. And then we are big Disney Aulani fans. We're a big Disney family, but it is really pricey. And so I know that that's what deters a lot of people. But one thing that you can do is do a split stay. So that's how my family does Aulani, is we usually stay in Waikiki or somewhere for the first half of our trip. And that's when we're doing our exploring and we're doing all of our activities and stuff. And then we end with a few nights at Aulani, where we just hang out at the resort. So we don't need a car. We are soaking in all of their free activities and programming, and they've got an awesome kids club, things like that. So it's a great way to kind of get to do explore Hawaii, but then also get your resort relaxing sort of vacation too. So that's something to like keep in mind.
You can also try renting other people's Disney Vacation Club points as a way to stay at Aulani a little bit cheaper.
That is what we have done every single time. And it's crazy how much it will save you.
Yeah. So that's definitely a good tip. And we, Inside Families Fly Free, we let members, we have a lot of Disney Vacation Club members, so we let them rent their points out to members who are not Disney Vacation Club members. So, and we have a full webinar inside the membership too about Disney Aulani. I haven't been, but it does sound wonderful. So we have lots
of people. It's amazing. And especially if you have younger kids, it is just, they know how to treat families. And it is just, it's a vacation that you can actually just relax, which is hard when you have young kids.
Yeah. Disney knows how to handle the young kids and how to make excellent customer service. That's one reason I love always going to Disney, is because you know, you're going to have great service. Yeah. You stay at one of their resorts, you know.
They're very used to stressed out parents, you know.
Yes, indeed. Yes. All right. Well, fantastic. And I did want to mention Marcy has Hawaii travel guides for traveling there with kids for all four of the islands. which we highly recommend. And you can check those out on our site at familiestravelfree.com/Hawaii guides, just Hawaii guides. And they're 1 to 7, 1, 3, and 7 day itineraries. Is that right?
So those ones are all 7 day itineraries.
All 7 day. Okay.
Yeah. And then I also have an island hopping guide, and those are 1 to 3 day itineraries for all 6 islands. So that would be Maui, Oahu, Big Island, Kauai, and then also Molokai and Lanai, which are kind of bonus islands that people usually go to after they've done the main 4 islands.
Okay, cool. So you can check those out and tell us where else we can find you online.
You bet. Well, I'm on Facebook. I have my Facebook page as well as a group, Hawaii Travel with Kids. I'm also on Pinterest and I'm on Instagram at Hawaii Travel with Kids.
All right. So go check her out. Check out her guides. I love to get a guide if I'm going anywhere because it just saves you the research of what to do. And like you were saying with the sitters, it's pre-vetted for you. Mm-hmm. Someone has gone and done it and said, this is worth doing. And here is our experience. And it's just a huge time saver and stress saver, I think. So I definitely recommend that. But all right. Well, thanks, Marcy. Lots of great ideas and tips for tackling Hawaii, no matter what age kids you have. And everyone, we will see you on next week's episode.
If you're ready to fly your family free forever, I invite you to join my Families Fly Free membership. You'll learn how to stop paying for airfare throughout the US, Caribbean, and Europe so you can make those priceless travel memories before your kids or even grandkids leave home for good. And you'll learn it using my simple, proven formula that's helped hundreds of families. You can get more information at familiesflyfree.com.